This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Healing Me Softly. It is our weekly checkup with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. And Sean, my friend, it's getting rough over there in Boulder. Maybe not as bad as what's going on for another celebrity-type coach and what's happening with Bill Belichick at North Carolina. But so at least you're not that. At least none of us in this region have to worry about that.
Boulder, good afternoon, my friend. Boulder on Tuesday, that was as chippy. I guess he was chippy a couple weeks ago and I was not there. But in my presence, it was as chippy as I had seen Deion Sanders in a moment at a presser that didn't involve me in any way. Even though I'm there in the room, waving hi. Hello, how you doing? Because I don't get called on. Anyway,
still going on.
It's still going on. Yeah, so It's like the Francoist regime. It's like Generalissimo Franco. I just sit in the back quietly and hope the military don't take me out. Oh yes, free country that we live in. It's a wonderful place, America. It's beautiful. No, it was just chippy. I know he got chippy about three weeks ago, whatever it was, on a Tuesday about how do you define. He did the whole how do you define XYZ. But I mean, he was really short. He was really terse. For him, and then Pac-Man Jones was there, and so we had a little bit of the weird. It was almost the quintessential Deion news conference, in that you had like a celebrity guest, you had a Peggy reference. Like if you wanted to play the bingo game of like a Deion presser, Peggy reference, yep, check. Friend to Deion, famous person shows up, check. Gets chippy about something with one of with a newspaper person. Got a little chippy with Tyler, yes. Asked you to find something. Yes, it was, he's not in a great mood, but understandably he's got bigger life things going on too. I mean, you have to be, at least somewhat sympathetic to that. I mean, he's about to go under the knife for 4 hours or whatever else he was about to do. So it's not great. No, Bob, it's not great.
Yeah. And you look at this season too. I mean, it's not going to get any easier with what awaits the rest of their schedule. So, you do wonder, and you and I talked about this a little last week where it's almost kind of like, this is who we are. It is what it is. We'll just see what we've got here. But you do have a lot of Buffs fans that are ready to see, Julian Lewis get a start and just go that route. If you're going to be bad, you might as well learn with him.
What's the difference between 4-8 and 3-9?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, that argument.
And you prepare your freshman quarterback for next season.
And if I were a Buffs fan, I think I would be – I'd be hammering that door. And I think because it's the old argument we make about any of our favorite sports teams. You either need to be trying or you need to be learning. Right? Like, and ideally, you'd love to do both. And, we all want to be the Dodgers somewhat, one way or another. But if you're not doing either, or you say you're doing the former, it's like what the Rockies. Careful, Keeler. Don't compare the Buffs football to the Rockies. No, that's not fair to the Buffs. But you need to pick a lane, and you can't be in all lanes at once here. And I think they're still in that left lane of we're going to try to get to. Bowl, you're not going to 0-3. You're not going to win a league championship. Okay, cross that off. Can we get to a bowl? Well, mathematically, even at 5-7, we still have a shot. I get the feeling that Prime and his staff, as long as anything is mathematically eligible, they're going to try to reach for it. And yet, there's no there. I mean, it's going to be hard to find more than 4 wins total with the 2 you've got already. It's not good. And therefore, are you willing to punt this season to look at the long view? And I bet 90% of Buffs fans are, understandably, right now, like, done. This needs to be play the kid, play all the kids, do what you've got to do to make this thing better in 2026, 2027, and 2028. I think they're going to get there. I think this weekend, with the bye coming, maybe the last one, if I can go back to my analogy, where you're still in that left lane of we're going to try, right? I mean, they could beat Iowa State at home. I don't think they will, but they could, theoretically, because then if you're 2-5, then that path is pretty clear, right? I think that's when I think you're going to have your – plus you conveniently have the mid-season bye week to take stock and everything and go – well, we could you know, throw coaches under the bus, or we could start throwing players. And they've been throwing players under the bus again. That this has got taken on a very 2023 vibe that way. Or we have to just shake things up and really just pump the season, which they've never, even year one, they were not really, obviously, really willing to do because they were trying to build an impression, and they got off to such a fast start that then when it just kind of fell off bit by bit by bit, and Washington State being the mid-year, I don't think they knew how to get that back. I don't know that we're there yet, but if Saturday goes badly and then coming off the bye, you know where they go? You know, they go to Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
So even if you shifted things up, are you going to start Juju in Salt Lake City against at least a pretty good or certainly a more back-to-normal Utes defense? Boy, I don't know that that's a great idea. So there's no good path. And I given Deion Sanders' health, I do have some empathy there. This was always going to be kind of a rough go, as we talked about. And I mean, other than going young, I just don't see what you salvage from it if you don't get a win this weekend. It's going to be hard to get, let's put it this way, it's going to be hard to go from 2-5 to 6-6. I mean, I'm not going to say impossible, but dang near close. And so I think the record is going to dictate ultimately the path you take, and I think you need to start rebuilding.
Is there a thought of, and I don't know how many games has Juju actually played in, of like, hey, let's just reserve the eligibility, but if he's as good as everybody says he is, he's going to be short-term.
Just one. So it's four. So you've got three shots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To keep that redshirt. If he wants to keep that redshirt, it's a different deal. Everything, you know, you and I, I'm old, you're not. You're young and sexy and vibrant, and I'm old and
thank
fat.
You.
But that, even though your beard is gone. But we look at this from a 2015-2018 kind of lens, and this is different now. Juju has like $1 million in endorsements. Like, he is already I told you he had an Esquire piece in which he's mentioned as one of the great new hot things of you know, guys who could make so much. He was making NIL money in high school. Like, these guys are already small businessmen. Stuff that NFL players don't think about till they're, you know, rookies and get taught in rookie symposiums. Young five-star quarterbacks are getting this stuff when they're 13, 14. They're getting some as soon as you can be a celebrity, there's nothing to prevent some car dealer going, geez, come hawk it so-and-so Buick for me. Will you help me sell Toyotas or whatever? So, as I'd say that hypothetically. So it's a different world, and he's a millionaire who's not playing. Now, the upside, he's a millionaire and could, you know, not, you know, can live off that money and live off his small businesses for as long as he's famous. But you're not going to be famous for very long if you're not playing. And so at some point that rubber is going to meet the road. And I'll be impressed if he never sees another game and sticks it out and says, I will take that red shirt and I'll take this year to learn, because that's what ordinarily as a 17-year-old who would normally academically be in high school, you would do. But these are not, again, these aren't normal times. And because the rules have changed, again, in normal times, Deion Sanders wouldn't be a top 10 paid college football coach. He'd be doing TV or doing whatever else he did. So you have to kind of readjust your expectations and readjust where you think empathically these guys are going to be. And I do think, because there is an interest in keeping his face back in the public, but in a place where he can succeed, he's going to want to play, but not until he's in a position to succeed. And that's been clearly a tricky balance on the part of the CU coaching staff, because even if he wants to play, I think there are some coaches who don't. want him to because they see what we see, as they always say, and that's a kid who's just not ready on the field.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. You know, this was interesting, not just on the Juju side, but the roster. You know, I think you and I both were kind of realistic on the expectations, like, six or seven, maybe?
Yeah.
You're losing a lot of studs.
Five to seven.
You're losing a lot of studs from a year ago. But Coach Prime kind of went back on that, you know, back, the opposite on that. He's like, hey, I think this is the best roster we've had collectively. And so when you start saying things like that, I suppose you build up these interesting expectations. How do Buffs fans ultimately feel if this is a four-win team?
I think a four-win season is a failure. Like, put that high, and I don't think I'm being mean or violent or vindictive to say that. Do you?
No, I don't think so.
I think if we say 5-7, 4-8 is an abject failure. And especially in the context of your coach who says what he says and just has to leads a little too much with the ego sometimes, and that's okay, and with the reputation, because it's got to be maintained, and with the brand, and you've got a team that's damaging the brand, and you've got a coaching staff that's damaging the brand. Let's just be frank about that. And you've got a season that could damage the brand, and those questions are going to be asked. Now, they're not going to be asked. The trick with this, too, is, you know, I always laugh at this with hot list, like, or a hot seat list. And, you know, maybe if we have time, you transition to Jay a little bit, too, although there's only not much to say there at this point. But I always laugh when Deion turns up there because the seat isn't hot from the school. They are riding this for as long as they can. This is, as long as he is printing them money, he can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants, yada, yada, yada. Back to the Francoism thing. So it's a tricky one. But I think it's disappointing and it's a failure. But there's still time, maybe, again, after this weekend, if they would get an upset and could build some momentum, you know, you can get to that 5-7. But if you don't get this one, you're running out of windows and you're running out of days and weeks. So I think it's okay to feel disappointed, especially when your coach raises those expectations. I do think the offensive line is probably the best he's ever had. And the running back stable may be the best he's ever had. And those were things that he was worried about, and those are things he was concentrating on. Those are things that the Buffs focused on in the portal. And they do those things a lot better than 2 years ago. But as we've talked about, you know what they don't do better? They don't do the passing stuff remotely close.
Yeah.
And when you don't do that in this league, especially because the Big 12 is basketball on grass, you're going to get left behind because everybody's got, if not a Shadur, somebody pretty close. And you know what's ironic? You don't. You know, like that's the thing with this. So I don't know.
Well, and I agree. Every point you made, like, no, he's not on a hot seat unless he's putting himself there. Obviously, health concerns. He had his procedure yesterday. So he was back out at practice today, walking around. I'm guessing everything went okay.
Yeah, as far as we know, I mean, their circle is pretty tight. But if Bucky's shooting him out there, he's out there.
Right.
He's ready to go, and he's kind of indomitable that way. You know, no one is better for the brand. No one is better for Prime Inc. than Prime himself. He shows up and he's a gamer on all fronts. So I'm less concerned about that, certainly in the macro, than a lot of other people. But you mentioned that with the hot seat thing, and yeah, the heat of the seat is his to determine. He will determine when this Deion era ends. No one else. It won't be the president.
Yeah, no.
No, it's made of jelly. It won't be the provost. It won't be the provost. It won't be this. It certainly won't be Rick George, who the minute Deion goes, he's out. Like, he will fall back. Those two will be, he'll be like, well, see everybody, it's been great. And then let whatever happens, happens. But it'll be Deion inside.
Do you see potentially, like, could this, I mean, I'm going to ask, because we're going to ask again, like, could this be it? Could this be the last year that Coach Prime wants to do this?
I don't know. I don't think so. And this is why, because the worse that it gets, and the more that he goes through, I think, again, we're all learning about Deion as we go. But the one thing that we're experiencing firsthand is the harder you push at him, the harder he pushes back. And so a bad again, just me talking, that a bad year, which this is probably going to be, I think it's going to feel like it's going to steal them, good, bad, or otherwise, to try to redeem themselves the way they felt they did between 23 and 24. I don't think he's going to walk away with a 4-18.
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like, I think there's
yeah.
enough of pride that if they would get back to 8-4, 9-3 again, which isn't inconceivable. Again, you can argue that if you find instantly an NFL-level QB, which unfortunately Caden just isn't. He's a good kid. He just isn't that guy. That you could see that kind of turnaround pretty quick if they could just kind of, you know, ironically, that's where the portal could help them a year from now, is like if you continue to have a decent O-line and you like your stable and you got good young backs, you got good young skill guys, you put a better QB than what Caden Salter was or is, that's a 4-2 team and not a 2-4 one, probably a 5-1 team, given how they finish. So they're not that far away.
No, they really aren't. Yeah.
No, and to your point, and I think, but I don't think he would, unless some doctor. And look, I mean, he's coaching in undergarden in Depends.
Yeah.
He's got a sponsored toilet on the sideline. I think you're going to have to drag him from that sideline medically if it's not his choice. It would have to just be you are going to do yourself such irreparable damage if you stay and do this. I think you're going to have to drag him away. And the worse this season goes, the more resolved he's going to be to justify his salary. And again, to justify the brand, because we have to remember also the brand and the legacy are the most important thing. And also, and I've got time today, but you don't. Who else, let me ask you this question. Who else is going to hire Warren Sapp or Pat Shurmur? Who else is going to hire them?
Yeah, can't imagine right now.
Nobody.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you say, well, Shurmur's got friends. Yes, somebody somewhere, but not at this level. I think he feels also a fiduciary responsibility for his friends and his confidants and what they've built. So, no, I don't think if they're 3-9, 4-8, 4-8 probably seems pretty likely. I don't think he walks away from that unless some doctor tells him you will lose a leg or something really extreme if you don't do this. And then even then, I'm not sure he would walk away without them being a winner.
Yeah, give it to him on that side of it. He's the ultimate competitor, and you know the further south this goes, the more motivated I'm sure he will be to try to rebuild this thing. So we'll see. Sean, great article, loved it in the Denver Post today. And we'll catch up next week. We got big weekends ahead of us yet again. Jay Norvell Friday night. I think so. So I'm gonna try to be out there Friday night. But if not, we'll catch up next week, my friend. Always appreciate it.
As am I. My only CSU comment for the day, and because it really kind of hasn't changed there, is be real curious what the head count in the crowd is.
I'll be
very, very curious where Rams fans vote with their wallets on Friday night.
Yeah.
I'll be really, really curious.
It's fascinating what's going on in Fort Collins, too, man. Sean, yep. Always appreciate it, man.
Thanks, dude.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Yeah, 39 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. I'll kind of react to that chat also on what to expect in Fort Collins coming up on Friday night. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.